the halachis of what foods may not be eaten because of sakona, because of some kind of danger that it presents to the person who's eating those foods. It's an area of halacha which is not that familiar to many people. And we're going to go through a number of different areas. The Torah says, Hisham elecha ushmar nafshecha ma'od, v'nishmarta ma'od l'nafshel seichem. And the poskim write that from these psukim we learn that a person has to protect himself from any kind of danger, any kind of physical danger. And based on that, the Chachomim prohibited many types of things which could lead to a danger. For instance, mayim megulim, in certain countries, there was an issa of drinking water that was left overnight exposed because of the danger of a snake infusing some venom into the liquid, and fish and meat, which many people are familiar with, that we'll discuss the details of that. And there is a machlokes among the poskim whether these types of foods, which were prohibited, is it an issa min haTorah? Is it a biblical prohibition, or is it only issa midrabbanan? The Levush in Yoredeya says that it's not issa min haTorah. The pasuk is only an asmachta bi'alma, and because the pasuk is referring to some kind of spiritual danger, but the Chachomim came along and they prohibited these types of foods. The Prima Gadim says that there is an Issa Deraisa, there is a biblical prohibition. And some Achrayim say, it all depends. If we know that there's a Vade Sakona, there's a certain, there's a definite Sakona, that's an Issa Deraisa. If there's only a Cheshash of Sakona, there's a concern that there's some kind of danger, like Mayim Begulim, we don't know for sure that there's snake venom in there, so that would only be an Issa Derabbanan. But I'll call upon him. The bottom line is that the Torah writes, everyone agrees that a person has to be very, very careful when it comes to these foods that the Chachomim said present a danger. And even in a case of Sofek, even if there's a doubt whether there's a Sakana, one has to be Machmir. Because as the Gemara in Chulin says, Chamira Sakanta Meisura. The Chachomim treated a sakona that it's even more serious, more stringent than issa. There are certain cases where in issa we can, if it's a case of a sofi, we can go lakula, we can be lenient. But when it comes to sakona, we have to be machmir, even in the case of sofi. And therefore, I'd like to try to discuss three different areas. One is fish and meat. The second area is peeled eggs, onions, and garlic, and if we have enough time to discuss foods that are left under a bed where a person sleeps. The Gemara in Sochim says, Hahu binisa. There was if a person takes a certain fish, a binisa, and roasts it together with meat, it is also to eat that fish because it's absorbed it's the tam of the meat. Or it's also to eat the meat because it's absorbed the taste of the fish. And the Gemara says, why is that also? What's the sakana in that? The Gemara says, kosher ledova acher. We don't totally understand this, but Rashi says dova acher means tzoras. Some form of tzoras, that eating fish and meat or fish that's absorbed the taste of meat can lead to tzoras. And this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch in two places. In Yoredeya, the Shulchan Aruch says a person has to be careful not to eat fish and meat together because it's kosher litzoras. And in Orech Chaim, it's also brought down that a person has to make an interruption between meat and fish, and one should wash his hands in between, mayim emtsoyim, because of tzoras, and chamira sakanta meisura. And this is the general consensus of the poiskim, is that there is a sakana in eating fish and meat together. And even though we might not see that sakana, Chazal were concerned with the sakana, even if it's one chance in thousands. When it comes to sakana, we don't follow a rove. We're concerned even about the miut, even if there's a very, very small chance. But what's interesting is that the Rambam does not bring down this halacha. The Mogen Avraham in Orech Chaim states the following. He says, possibly bizman hazeh, possibly today there is no sakona. Maybe it's nishtana hateva, maybe nature has changed to a certain degree, and the sakona that was present in the time of Chazal no longer exists, as we find in other cases, that there were cases of certain types of ruach roh, certain types of bad spirits that were sakon in the time of Chazal that no longer apply today, they're no longer mazik today. As for instance, Tosfos says in Mayakotin that the Gemara says that fish, when it's near rotting, is very, very good. And Tosfos points out, today we know that if the fish is near rotting, that's a sakona, or one should not eat it. So we see that there's a nishtana ateva. And many of the refuahs, many of the cures of the medications that are brought down in Shas, the Rishonim say no longer apply today. They wouldn't be effective today because of nishtana hateva. And kama v'kama mikomos that the Rishonim mentioned this concept of nishtana hateva. So that's what the Mogen Avraham says. Possibly, he's not saying for sure, but possibly this sakona would not apply today because of nishtana hateva. However, the Chasam Sofer in a tshuva focuses on the fact that the Rambam left out this halacha, and he suggests two possible reasons why the Rambam left it out. One possible reason is the Gemara talks about a binisa. Binisa is a particular type of fish. We're not aware what type of fish it is. And maybe the sakona only applies by a binisa, but not by other types of fish. And binisa is not a common fish that we know about. And his second suggestion is that the Rambam, with his tremendous insight and knowledge, that the Rambam understood nishtane hateva, that nature has changed concerning this, as Tosfos has written in a number of places, and therefore the Rambam left it out because he felt that the sakona no longer exists today. However, the Chasam Sofer goes on to say that it's still osur. Even if the sakona doesn't exist, it would still be osur to eat fish and meat together because it's a dovah shebeminyan. It's something that Chazal were goyzer on. Chazal made a decree. And even if the tam for the gzera no longer applies, it still remains osur. However, if the sakona doesn't apply, but it's only a gezeira derabonan, he says that under those circumstances, we can be a little bit more lenient. So, for instance, as we'll see, there are poskim who say that bosa and dogim, because the sakona is not bottle, there's no bittel bishishim. So Chasam Sofer says, that's only because of the sakona. By sakona, we're concerned even with a mashehu, even with the slightest amount. However, Chasam Sofer suggests that today we would say bittel bishishim because although the sakona doesn't apply, it still will be osam midrabanan. But that isad rabanan, we would apply bittel bishishim. So the Mogen Avraham suggests that possibly this isad doesn't apply today. Chasam Sofer says it does apply, maybe not because of sakona, but the Isser Durabonin will still apply. Many, many Achronim, however, the Shvus Yaakov, the Divrei Malkiel, the Maram Shik, all say we should not rely on this Mogen Avraham, that the Isser of fish and meat still applies today because of Sakona. It makes no difference whether it's beef or whether it's poultry together with fish. We have to be concerned about that there is a sakona, and we're not going to apply any principle of nishtane hateva as far as sakona is concerned, because when it comes to sakona, we're choshesh even for a miut, even for the slightest concern that there might be a sakona. And therefore, it's very, very important that when people go to a kiddush, And there's all kinds of delicacies, gefilte fish and cholent and meat and chopped liver, not to put it on the same plate together, and because they'll be touching each other, and not to use the same fork to eat both the fish and the meat. And this is also a problem in terms of barbecue. Sometimes people use the same barbecue, the same grill, whether it be at home or it be in restaurants, they'll use the same grill for meat and for fish, and the be'en, there's still mamoshes, there's still something left on it, and the fish and the meat are come in contact with each other. So the issur of eating fish and meat because of sakana applies eating them together, or if they're cooked together or roasted together, even though you eat them separately, but there's been a transfer of tam, a transfer of taste from one to the other, and therefore that issur will apply. The Chelkis Yaakov, Rab Reish from Switzerland, has a tshuva in which he talks about what happens if one cooked meat together with something parav, like in a cholent. One has, you cook meat with potatoes, and then you would take that potato, which has absorbed the taste of the meat, and eat it together with fish, right? So you're not eating the meat with the fish, but you're eating a part of a thing which has become fleishik, which has absorbed the taste of the meat together with the fish, and Rab Reish paskins that's also asur. So one has to be very careful, even if one removes the meat from the cholent, not to put the potatoes from the cholent or the beans from the cholent together with fish. The Ramah talks about a case of roasting meat and fish in the same oven when they're not touching each other, but there's a reyach, there's an odor that is transferred from one to the other. Because they're in the same oven, and the Rama says lechatchila, it's preferable not to do that. However, b'di'evet, after the fact, it does not become asur, because b'di'evet we rely on the shitas that reicha lav milsa, that reyach really does not have a mamoshes to make it asur. The shach, however, brings down other achrayim who say that when it comes to fish and meat, reyach is asur. Even b'di'eved, and therefore, because of chamira sakanta neisura, we're so machmir when it comes to sakana. That's the way the Pri Chodesh and the Chochmas Adam paskin as well. I mentioned before whether there's a din of bitol b'shishim by fish and meat. As we know, by other isurim, there's bitol b'shishim, and this turns out to be a major machlokas between the Taz and the Shach. The Taz is machmir, there's no bitul b'shishim, 60 to 1, because chamira sakanta meisur. And the Shach disagrees, and he says that there is bitul b'shishim, just like by other isurim, because if the tam is nullified, if the taste of one into the other is nullified, then it doesn't present a sakana. Chamira sakanta meisur would only apply in a case where you have a suffix. A suffix, whether there's a sakana or not, then we apply chamira sakanta misur. But not in terms of bitul bishishim. And most poskim follow the Shach's opinion, the Pri Chodesh, Chasam Sofer, Chochmas Adam, and Orach HaShulchan, that fish and meat, there will be a din of bitul bishishim. And therefore, I think, I've heard that this is the OU policy, that they do give a hashkocha on a Worcester sauce, which contains anchovies in it, but it's the anchovies are bottled bishishim. There's less than one in 60, and the Worcester sauce very often is placed on meats. So the OU does give a hashkoch on that because it's already bottled bishishim, and we follow the psak of the shach. A very, very interesting question concerning meat and fish is, and this is a question that all wives and all mothers have this question, when you're cooking fish, do you have to have a special fish pot, or can you cook fish in a fleishika pot, in a meat pot? And do you have to have a designated fish pot? Well, my mother-in-law and I got along tremendously until this Shaila came up. I think this is the only machlokes we ever had. She said, how can you possibly cook fish in a regular meat pot? It has to be a designated fish pot. And so I showed her at the Taz. The Taz, I told her the Taz, that the Taz in Simin Sadihei in Yeridea says that there is no sakana by Pleitas Kalim. If the tam of bosa is coming out of a kli, of the walls of a vessel, and goes into the fish, there's no sakon. It's only if it comes directly from the meat into the fish, but not from the walls of the... No.
Well,
what?
Think they
That's right. If you clean the grill very well, so then that would be the same thing. The problem is that very often they don't clean the grill very well. And he proves this, the Taz proves this from a din in Shulchan Aruch, that if one puts fish on a ka'ora shel basa, on a plate, on a meat plate, and the fish is very hot, and it absorbs the tam of the meat from the plate, so then the halacha is that one is allowed to eat that fish with milk because of the principle of nat bar nat, of no same tam bar no same tam. And therefore the fish does not become milchix. But the Taz points out, what about the sakona? The fish has absorbed the taste of the meat from the plate, and therefore he proves on that halacha that there is no sakona when it's only a plate from a kli. And that's the way most achronim paskin, Rabbi Kivega, the Chochmas Sodom, the Pischei Tshuva. However, there are poskim who hold that one should be machmir to have a separate fish pot. In fact, the Torah brings down. The Torah himself brings down, what? Like my mother-in-law. Right. She had a marker. She had, in loy nevios hein, benos nevios hein. Right? She had some marker. The Torah does bring down in Yoredeh, she yesh machmirim, that there are those who are machmir to designate a special fish pot. But me'ikor hadin, the poskim say that one does not have to have a fish pot. There are poskim, however, the Dar Kitshuva brings down poskim, and this is very, very relevant, lahalocha, that there's no sakana when one is cooking fish in a fleishika pot, because it's only plata, it's only absorbing the taste from a kli, but if there's a dova chorif in that pot, if there's something sharp, if one is using a lot of vinegar in cooking the fish, and vinegar is a dova chorif, that pulls out a very, very intense tam of meat from the walls of the pot, and that is going to be also, and that there will be a sakona, and therefore the poskim say that if one cuts an onion with a fleishika knife, an onion is a dova chorif, and you want to take that onion and cook it together with fish, that will be a problem. Because now, even though it came from a knife, but since it was absorbed by a dova chorif, there is going to be a sakon. And as we mentioned before, this is a major, major problem in terms of grills and barbecues, that the be'en remains on the grills, and that's part of a hashgacha in a restaurant, that the mashgiach, the heksha, has to make sure that the restaurant either uses a separate grill for fish or fish and meat, separate grills, or that at least it's cleaned off very, very well, so that there's no be'en, there's no mamoshis, nothing tangible that remains on the surface. when one is eating fish and meat at a Shabbos Seuda, let's say, what does one have to do between the fish and the meat? And by the way, it makes no difference what order one is eating them in. If a person eats the fish before the meat or the meat before the fish, there's a certain interruption, a certain hefsik that has to take place. The Mechaber says that one has to wash his hands, and one has to eat something solid, and also drink a liquid, so that one, by doing that, any remnants of the fish will be removed. So even though one is eating them bezeh hazeh, not together, but consecutively, one after the other, there's still going to be a problem if there's any shirayim, any remnants. The Rama says that me'ikar hadin, the sakana only applies when one is eating them together or they're cooked together. But the minog is that even if one is eating them successively, the Rama says that one does not have to wash his hands, but he has to eat something and drink something in between the fish and the meat. And the Chochmas Odom reduces that just to drinking. You don't have to eat any challah, just drink something so that one is not really eating them one right after the other. And that's the minog ha'olam. What does one drink in between? So the minog ha'olam is, to use it as an excuse, to drink some schnapps, to drink something, to drink some bronfin, right? It's really brought down in poskim, though, that the Shorim Mitzionim Bahalocha says that drinking Yayin Sarif, the minog is to drink some kind of schnapps in between the fish and the meat, and not soda or just water. There's a reason al pisod, and there's also reason based on the Tosfos in Mayed Katan. And so therefore, one should make sure not to put fish and meat on the same plate, not to eat it with the same fork, and that's the reason probably why we put out two forks when we set the table on Friday night, right? I'm not going to speak about fish and fish and cheese, because Rabbi Dr. Zavitkovsky is going to speak about that on Tuesday. Yeah, so I'm not. He asked me not to cover that topic, but there is a another Gemara, which is even less known concerning Sakana. And that is the Gemara in Nida, where the Gemara says that there are certain things that if a person eats them, he is Mischayev Benafsho Vidomo Barosho. What are these things? A person who eats peeled garlic, peeled onions, peeled eggs that were left overnight without the peel, without the shell, and there's a certain ruach ro that attaches itself to those peeled foods. A ruach ro, a bad spirit, a spirit of impurity. And the Gemara qualifies this. The Gemara says, it doesn't matter, even if it's in a sealed bag, the ruach ro can still get in. A ruach ro has a way of getting through things, right? And therefore, there is going to be a sakana, even though it's covered up and it's sealed. And but the Gemara says that if the hairs of the onion or the garlic are still remain, there are still some hairs, or there's a little bit of peel that still remains, hasn't been completely peeled, then there's not going to be a sakana. This halacha, the reason why people are not aware of this halacha, many people are not aware, it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's not brought down in the Tur, in the Mechaber, the Ramah, the Shach, or the Taz. However, the Gedolei HaPoskim say that we have to be careful about this. Yes? That what? I'm going to mention. It is brought down by the Pri Chodosh, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, the Orech HaShulchan. Reb Moshe in the Tshuva says we have to be careful about this. The Stipler said that we have to be makbid on this. The Chazanish, and many, 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 many poskim. And the question is, why was it left out of Shulchan Aruch? And that's an issue that many achronim deal with. Some poskim want to say that the ruach ro no longer applies. Bizman azeh. As Tosfos says, by many cases of ruach ro, that type of ruach ro, there are certain ruach ro's that still remain today, and other types of ruach ro that no longer are in existence today. However, the Chafetz Chaim and Reb Moshe both say that although it's left out of Shulchan Aruch, we have to be machmer, we have to be careful about this, because there is a sakana. Reb Moshe tries to explain why it's left out of Shulchan Aruch, but maybe it's a das yochid, but he says, halacha l'maisa, we have to be careful about this. The Klausenberger Rebbe, the previous Klausenberger Rebbe, Zatzal, was especially very, very makbid on this, and he wrote tshuvis, a number of tshuvis, in his Shailos HaTshuvos Divrei Yatziv, and that he says it causes sakona, it causes many, many illnesses. He attributed many illnesses today to the fact that people are not nizor in this particular isur, and he says ein makom lahakel, that one should not be makel on this, and therefore powdered eggs. The Klausenberger Rebbe writes about powdered eggs that are used in bakeries. He felt that there is a problem, and there are many Hasidim today, especially among Hasidim, that they're machmir on these things, and that's why when they make eggs and onions on Shabbos, a mixture of eggs and onions on Shabbos, they won't peel the eggs and the onions before Shabbos, because then it'll be left overnight. They're machmir to do a dafka before the Seuda on Shabbos day. So this Shailiz Nogeya is very, very relevant. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that. It's very relevant in hotels and restaurants when they crack eggs the night before for the next morning breakfast, making egg salad on Erev Shabbos, powdered eggs for frozen eggs or powdered eggs for bakeries. And then there's the question of leaving over peeled onions. If a person has peels an onion and he doesn't need the whole onion, he leaves it over, puts it in the refrigerator, even if you put it in a plastic bag, right? It could be that there is a problem with sakon. And then there's diced onions, and there's onion powder, and there's garlic powder. All of these are shailas that revolve around this particular issue. We'll see that there are kulis on some of these things. As we mentioned, if part of the shell or part of the peel it was left on the egg or on the onion, right? So then the Gemara says that there is no sakona. Now there is a major machlokes because we're dealing with ruach ro. Ruach ro is a metaphysical thing that we really don't understand. So there is a machlokes among the many machloksim. Among the Achronim concerning these Yisurim. For instance, there's a machlokes among the Achronim whether it applies only to cooked eggs, like a hard-boiled egg, or it applies only to raw eggs, that were not cooked. The Beis Shlomo says that it only applies to raw eggs, not to cooked eggs. Some Achronim say it applies only to cooked eggs and not to raw eggs. So this is a machlekes when we deal with sakana, chamira sakanta meisura. So one should be machmir in a case where you have a machlokes haposkim to be machmir on this. Now there are some communities that follow the shittas that this doesn't apply bizman hazeh. There are some communities that are not machmir on these three types of potential sakana because they hold the sakana does not apply today. But as we've seen, many of the Gedolei HaPoskim say that everyone should be machmir on this. However, the Smak says that sakana only applies to eggs or onions which are alone. They were peeled, left overnight alone. But when they're mixed together with other foods, like in a salad, or they're mixed with vinegar or with salt, one puts salt in them, so then that's not going to be a problem. The Chazon Ish paskened like that. And therefore, if one takes the onions and mixes it, the onions or the eggs, mixes it with tuna fish or with oil or mayonnaise or with other vegetables, the sakana will not apply. And that's what's done very often in hotels or hotels or restaurants where they have to crack a very, very large number of eggs the night before for breakfast, so they'll crack the eggs, leave it in a bucket, but they'll add salt. But many poskim say it has to be a significant amount of salt, not just a drop of salt. It has to be salt that will give some kind of salty taste in order to prevent the sakana. Now, when it comes to powdered eggs, which are industrially manufactured, produced, so is there a sakana in terms of powdered eggs? The Beis Shlomo and a number of other Achronim say it's osur even b'di'evid, even after the fact, one cannot use it, that the Chidor held that way, the Klausenberger Rebbe held that way, the Chelkis Yaakov held that way. However, we have two tshuvis of major poskim who give a kula on powdered eggs. Rebbe Avadya Yosef said that powdered eggs, he relies on the psak of the Har Tzvi or Tzvi Pesach Frank by powdered milk, that once it's changed its form, so he gave a certain kula in terms of powdered milk, that cholav akum does not apply to powdered milk. So too, Rabbi Avadya Yosef wanted to apply this kula that to powdered eggs. It's nishtanis mibriyos, it's changed. It's changed its form, and therefore it doesn't have the status of a peeled egg. Ramosha has tremendously broad shoulders, and Ramosha writes in the tshuva concerning powdered eggs or frozen yolks, yolks or whites that are produced commercially, right? Commercially frozen eggs or powdered eggs. Ramosha writes, there is no sakana by commercially produced eggs or onions or garlic, because he says These things are something that we don't really understand. Chazal told us, though, that there is a sakona because of ruach ro. But we apply the principle of ein lecha bo elo chidusho, that we only have what, we only follow exactly what Chazal tell us. Chazal, when they were talking about peeled eggs, mistoma, we assume they were talking about eggs that were peeled at the time of the Suda, the time of the meal, or right before the meal, and they were left over. Either you forgot them or you had extra, and they were left over. And therefore, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who was the Baal Memra of that halacha, Miseches Nida, he says that there's going to be a sakona. So only if it's peeled right at the time of the meal or a short time before the meal, right? Even the night before. But if it's commercially produced, right, like the egg whites or yolks or powdered eggs, it's commercially produced, so it's produced a significant time before it's going to be used, it's going to be eaten. So Rav Moshe said that the ruach roa does not apply, the sakana does not apply, and therefore Rav Moshe gave a heter on industrial processed eggs that they're not a problem according to Rav Moshe, and therefore many rely on this kula of Rav Moshe. Do I have 5 more minutes? 1 minute? Okay. So this applies to diced onions and onion and garlic powder, which also resemble the powdered eggs. According to the Har Tzvi, they would be mutter because nishtan and mibriyoso, they've changed their form. According to Rav Moshe, because they're processed, industrially processed, and therefore the sakona would not apply. And hard-boiled eggs in packets. Yeah, okay. So that, according to Rav Moshe, that would be commercially produced. However, according to the Klausenberger Rebbe and many other poskim, they would say that would be exactly the same as powdered eggs, even though it's commercially produced, does not make a difference, according to many poskim. So this is a... under the bed. Okay, so let me just talk about... 1 minute. 2 minutes. the food they're serving today, by the way, has none of these problems. The Gemara in Sochim says that food or drink which is left under a bed, even though it's covered, there's a ruach ro that attaches itself to that food, and there's a certain sakona. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins this in Yeridaya, that one should not place food or drinks under a bed because of that ruach ro, and even if it's covered. So the interesting question that comes up, there are two very interesting questions that are relevant to this. One is, what happens if a person is flying on a plane? You take a carry-on and you put food in the carry-on. Okay, it's covered up. Doesn't matter. Makes no difference, right? So, and you put it underneath the seat in front of you, and the person in front of you is sleeping on that seat. Poskim will say, it doesn't apply to every kind of a bed. It has to be a regular bed that a person sleeps on, not the seats on an airplane, right? That's not a regular bed. What? A baby carriage, maybe, yeah. Then there are other poskim who say it only applies if the person sleeping on the bed is Jewish. Not if he's non-Jewish. The ruach ra only comes when there's a Jew there, right? But not if it's a non-Jew. And then there's a Tzitz Eliezer who has a tshuva about this, and he says that one is allowed to put food under a bed on a boat, because he says it's only when the bed is somehow attached to the ground, to the adoma. Right? So in a plane, for sure, it's a kal v'chomer, right? It's 35,000 feet above the ground. So according to the Tzitz Eliezer, that would be another reason that it would be mutter. Let me just leave you with a very interesting shaila, which is relevant in the coming month, an esrog. Many people go to Eretz Yisrael and they bring an esrog back from Eretz Yisrael, and they put the esrog, they don't want to put it in their luggage, so they'll carry the esrog in their carry-on. And they'll put the carry-on underneath the seat, and someone is sleeping on top of it. So there's a major shaila in the poskim whether that esrog will be kosher to use on Sukkot. Why? Because if there is a sakona, if there is a sakona that the esrog now becomes osur ba'achilo, one would not be allowed to eat it. So the poskim say that an esrog which is osur ba'achilo, it's based on the Gemara in Sukkah, is not kosher to be yotze the mitzvah. And therefore, there is a major machlokis among the poskim that an esrog that was left underneath a bed that someone slept on, will that be esrog be kosher to be yotzei the mitzvah of esrog? If anyone wants to do more research and investigation on this topic, there's a fascinating, fantastic sefer called Shmiras HaGuf VaHaNefesh, two volumes by Rabbi Yosef Lerner. He covers this and many, many other topics that deal with sakona. Thank you. Very, very